If you recall, in my first message here for this year, taken from 1 Samuel chapter 15, here God told Saul to go battle with the Amalekites. And his instruction was very clear: kill every Amalekite and don't take their spoils as well. And here we read the biggest enemy that David had at that time was the Amalekite in Ziklag. So when David was installed as the king of Israel, Saul wasn't very happy. And Saul treated David with contempt, and that he took David as a threat to the throne. Well, we know Saul was obedient to some point, but he was more interested in saving his own soul, in saving his own name, in his own personal agenda to make himself good. But David was quite different. He was a man after God's heart. But after God's heart, his behavior in this case was quite disappointing. Because when Saul went after him, he thought of all ways and means to escape, to run. And he went as far as to the Philistines and pretended to be a madman, written for us in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And here in chapter 30, we read how Samuel wanted to join the Philistines against the Israelites. He wanted to fight with Israel, which country he was ordained to be the king. So he went all these things doing his own way. He did everything according to what he thought. He got advice from his friends. He got advice from his soldiers, his generals. And so what he did, he ran around, and God gave him a very long rope, they say, right? Gave him a very long rope so that he ran, he went here, he went there, all trying to be solving problem by himself. Sounds very familiar, right? We very often in trouble, we think of this, we thought of that, but we did not look to God. So, same thing happened to David. And David was described as a man after God's heart. So how forgetful can we be? How we thought that we are smarter. How we thought very often that we can solve things by ourselves. No, this is a small matter. We don't need to go to God. I only go to God when it's big matter. When I'm dying, when I'm in grave danger. But what does the Bible tell us? What did Paul wrote? Praying at all times. Pray at all times. Meaning God will answer you in small matters, in big matters. And I have a friend who's a Christian friend actually, but not from my church. He likes to make bread. He said, you know, my bread is always successful, rise up very good. Because in Singapore, in the tropics, the bread don't rise so easily as here because the humidity is very high. So 50% fail, he said. But I always don't fail because before I make, I pray. I said, well, that's seems very strange to me or to some people. But I said, you are doing the right thing because God says, pray at all times. But here David tried to run. Run here, run there. And finally, he went to the land of Philistines. Wanted to join them in the war. So he took 600 men to go to the land of the Philistines to fight against Saul. Meaning to fight against his own country. But God did not allow it. God put a stop to it through the Philistines. The Philistines rejected his offer to fight. And so he and his 600 men went back home. And their home at that time is in Ziklag. Ziklag is not in Israel. Ziklag. And when he went to Ziklag, they saw smoke coming up. Fire. It's not the ordinary fire of smoking, cooking. And so, when they reached nearer, they were surprised. Because there was nobody to welcome them. And what happened? They realized that their sons, their daughters, their wives have been taken captive. By whom? We don't know who yet. So David didn't know who yet. And from the 600 men who went with him, who were his comrades, now they turn around and point the finger at him, to David. You are the one who caused trouble. And they wanted to stone him. It reminds us very often. You know, it's very, very sad, or you feel angry, or you feel super disappointed when you're betrayed by your friends, your comrades, your colleagues. You know, you sometimes feel disappointed that some people treat you unwell. Because they are they. You are you. But you will feel extremely difficult, extremely hard when you are betrayed by your own friends. Which reminds us of God who sent Jesus Christ. Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. And when he came as human being, Jesus Christ, to dwell on this earth, he was welcome. He healed the sick. He fed the 5,000. When he went to Jerusalem, they put him on a donkey. They put palm leaves on the floor to welcome him. And yet, within that week, he was betrayed by Judas. He was not recognized by his own disciples. He went to pray. His disciples went to sleep. This you can feel how Jesus came to redeem us, to save us. How disappointed he was as a man. That he was totally ignored by his own fellow disciples. But of course, as God, he knew all this would happen. That is a reminder how hard Jesus went through. But Jesus was not disappointed. He prayed. He shed tears. He shed blood. Asking the Lord, his Father, the same God as him, to remember and bring it to pass, this bitter cup of redemption for us. So Jesus' death is not something we can take lightly. Of course, he doesn't want us to pity him, but he has set as an example. Here David have not heard that example yet, because his time was before the coming of Jesus as man. But we have now the reference text of both David and Jesus. And what did David do? David now came to his senses. He prayed. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Now he remembers. So brethren, as we do things ourselves, we want to do things the way we think best. We run here, run there, run until we have nowhere to run. Then we meet a very sore, disappointing ending times. As it were, remember God. Come back to Him. It's never too late. Many of our friends may have turned cold. Sometimes we may have turned cold ourselves. But the Lord says it's never too late to come back. Of course, the better thing would have been not to forget God, to go with Him, to plan with Him, to let Him lead the way. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And when we come about to talk about this topic, we have people making tons of money, a lot of money, by teaching positive thinking. Oh, you can be great. You just think positively. Keep on thinking about it. Act accordingly. And you too will achieve what you want. And sadly, this positive thinking has been mixed with some theological teaching in some churches. So in some churches, or in some people's theological preaching or teachings, that your faith must be mixed with positive thinking. Oh, but the Bible talks about faith in God and not faith in positive thinking. Because faith in positive thinking is man-made. At some point of time, you will not be able to sustain. But if you are turning to God, as David did, he encouraged himself, God is almighty. He is all the time there. His strength is all the same from the time that he created Adam, from the time that he dealt with David, from the time that he dealt with Saul, from the time that he deals with the people of today, from the time exactly now when we deal with God or God deals with us, He is the same God, the same God who David looked to. So this coming to God was at the wit's end of David. Now that we know that we are close to God, or if you are a bit walk further from God, draw nigh to Him. Do not wait for calamity to come to your life. And then you realize, oh, we ought to come close to God. No, today, you also must be close to God. And do not wait for calamity to come. Like in the case of David, he had nowhere to go. Then he remembered God. We are to remember God at all times, and to submit to His will, and to plan and to pray before we do a job, so that He will lead us. Again, it's never too late. If you have turned cool or if you have turned cold. But now we talk about His people who want to stone Him, who want to get rid of David for causing trouble. We laugh. Wow, these people are so terrible. These same people who fought with David. Stop there for a moment. Think about some churches among Christians in the church. In the church that I came from, I have been in my church for almost 50 years. And what happened? We have split. People against a pastor. People fighting with people. They split. People did not agree because they think that their interpretation of the theology is better. So they split. They think that they can perform better to manage the monetary issues. So they left because they have disagreement. So it is not surprising that today we have the same experience as in the day of David. As we said, God does not change. Men do not change too. The people with wicked heart those days, during the time of Abraham, Lot, during the time of Moses, during the time of Saul, during the time of David, and now, during our time, no difference. Because God says, man's heart is very wicked. And because man's heart is very wicked, you do not look to man. Because if you do, you will be very disappointed. Extremely disappointed. David could have been depressed and fall into the state of depression because his men betrayed him. Now they want to stone him. But turn to God he did. So today, we are dealing with the same wicked man that David dealt with. We have known of people, sometimes, our close friends, for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, church friends, and you are very close buddies. But one day, they do not talk to you. You become their arch enemy. Why? Because somebody else said something or planted a doubt in that person's mind. And the friendship for 40, 50 years just break off. Friendship for 10 years, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, all broken. Because of this. Why? Because men have a wicked heart. Unless you turn to God, like David did, you will be sore disappointed. Because the scripture tells us not to look at man, but to look at God. If you look at man, I'm sorry, even the number one leader in the land does not necessarily have a good testimony. They have extramarital affairs, they're corrupted, they have decisions made that are for their own self enrichment, for their own agenda. If you look at them, you will be so disappointed. Look to God. You see a lot of protest. At one time they love this prime minister. They love this politician. But things didn't go their way. They protest. This is the world. So the people went to fight together with David. Comrades in arms. Now want to stone him. This is man. This is the heart of man. And here, David went after these people on the blind chase. Who took all these people? But before he went, he prayed. He asked for the high priest. And he prayed. And in those days, they used the Urim and the Thummim, which is very similar to those who have a Chinese religious background or who knows of this will understand what it is. It's like a two kidney-shaped stone. One is half-rounded, one is flat. They just throw, one is flat, one is half. The other way means confirmation that it's okay. So he used the Urim and Thummim to confirm his decision because he prayed and asked for God's advice. And God spoke through the high priest, telling him that he will recover everything. And so, with this assurance, he went. There were 600 men who were fighting alongside him. Now 200 could not make it because they were too weak. Only 400 went with him. Oftentimes, when we do things, it appears that it is not in our way. But God says, if I am with you, in Romans 8:31, if God is with you, you are the majority. Nobody can fight with you. Nobody can beat you. And where is God? Is he with David? No. Not only with David. He is with you today. He is with me today. Romans 8:31. Despite all your calamities, all your difficulties, and added to that, more problems for David, humanly speaking. From 800, go to 400. What is the big number of the people whom he's going to fight? He doesn't know. He didn't know who they are, where they were. But God directed his way. Sent an Egyptian who met him halfway, who was abandoned by the Amalekites. And so this Egyptian told everything, that the Amalekites went to burn Ziklag and took the people. And this is what they are doing. So they had a big party when David met them. And they were half drunk, or drunk, hangover. Like in front of our church, people get into troubles. I haven't seen yet, but in some places, I used to see fights when people get drunk. Good old friends start quarreling and fighting. One of the guys who worked for me in the past went drinking. He is a good man, I thought. Yes, he is. He went drinking, got drunk, get into an argument, took a knife from his table and stabbed his good friend. And the good friend died. So, this drinking has caused the Amalekites problem. They were unaware that David was here to recover their loot, to take back what belonged to David. So David killed the Amalekites in the war, and he took back his wife, their children, their possessions, and now they took back the spoils of the war. Whatever the people have taken, David took them back, and he wanted to divide the spoils. Then it brings me back to 1 Samuel 15, which I first preached here this at the beginning of the month. God told Saul to kill the Amalekites and not to take the spoils. And I also gave an example about the idol made of gold or silver. The book of Deuteronomy tells us, you burn them. But here, David took the spoils. So this becomes a little bit of a problem with us, is it? No, it isn't. Because God did not give the instruction. God has a special instruction for David. And God did not ask David to kill every Amalekite that he sees. So therefore 200 of them went off. And David took that possession, that spoil, and he wanted to give it to his people and to distribute to the other tribes, not only limited to the 600. And you can imagine this 400 who went with him, sorely unhappy, because we are the one who went to fight. These are the 200 who did not go. So why do you need to give to them? Which reminds us of the parable of the vineyard, the workers. God employed them, those who are beginning to work for the whole day. And later he employed people again at the second half of the day. And he paid them the same salary for those who are working whole day. And the people were unhappy because they get the same pay. But Jesus says, the first shall be the last. Meaning that God did not limit salvation to those who seek Him first. We have problems talking to young Christians, especially younger Christians who work hard, who want to work hard, who have been working hard, and then they say it's quite unfair. I go to heaven. Somebody who have never contributed a single effort to the church also gets salvation when he or she accepts Jesus at the last breath. He or she also go to heaven. I have been working for so long in the church, serving God. I also get only a place in heaven. So what do you want? Two places? Three places? God says, when you come to trust in the Lord Jesus, you get a place in heaven. He did not say you trust Him early, you go earlier. But those who came to trust in Jesus early, thank God that you have had the blessing, that you have had a man, you have had a God whom you can look to and plan and rejoice. So don't complain about what is your lot, what is your share. So David took the spoils and he shared among the people. Jesus came to die for all. The spoils of Jesus is that He conquered death. And He gave a place to anyone who believes in Him in heaven. This is a spoil that Jesus left for us. But there's only one condition. You come to trust in Jesus. So as we read, we think of the similarities that David went through. The similarity of David and Jesus. It's just a comparison. It's not a man to be, but there's a glimpse of how God writes the Bible, how God gives His Word, so that we can understand and make a comparison. Not that this is it, that we read it as it were. Some people say, I told you about 2 weeks ago, that some people took it that this is a story of David and Goliath. It is last week, in fact. It's not a story. It's a record. It's history. It's a narration of things that happened then. So as a record for us to know, we are like David's men. The 600, some are tired. 200, tired. Oh, I'm too tired to go. Work for... No, I have plenty of things to do. So God says, go. The 400 who fought before they went, remember, 600 of them were so angry with David. So David, in a comparison in the language that we know, is like Jesus. And we are like the 600 men. Sometimes, even among Christians, even for long-time Christians, we pray, we do not get the way that we want it. We stand there and we ask God, God, why did you not answer me? Why did you answer somebody who is not as faithful as me? Have you heard that? Have you said it before? I have. To be honest with you, I have. God, why is it so difficult for you to bless me? When you bless somebody, I think he's not a good guy, you know. That's my judgment, not God's judgment. I think he's not a great guy. He doesn't work hard for the church. But why do you bless him more than you bless me? This is how we think. But God deals with us differently. You must see. I explained to you Psalm 37 and Psalm 73. Right? Psalm 37 seems that God is so unfair. Psalm 73, the psalmist himself sees it, that God is fair. So here, the comparison is as if the 600 people that went with David, as it were, well, we. David is like Jesus. We are so tired. We are left behind. And David is like Jesus, who keep on leading the way. Then we are like the Egyptian slave. This Egyptian slave whom God provided for David, whom David met, he was abandoned by the Amalekites because he was sick. But David provided all his needs. We follow the world. We will be abandoned because we are sick. When you are old, when you are sick, nobody bothers about you. You are almighty and strong, you think, when you are useful, when you are young. When you grow older, you will realize your position in whatever capacity you were. You were director, you were general manager, makes no difference. They just have one word for you. Old fellow. Old man. What can you do? They don't respect what you say, right? In the secular world. So you'll be abandoned. But Jesus did not abandon us. In our difficult times, in our old age, in the times that we needed help most, Jesus is always there. So in the comparison, we are like the Egyptian slave. We are like the spoils. And David, when Jesus recovered the spoil, he conquered death. He placed He gives us a place in heaven. He shares it with all of us, so that we have an opportunity for that share. So David, in this record, is a good lesson for us. He wandered around on his own. We often wander around on our own until we turn to God. So it's better that you don't wander around on your own. But to be with God, or rather ask God to be with you at all times. When we hold God's hand, it can be quite risky. Because we are tired, we can let go. We can sleep. But let God hold your hand. When God holds your hand, it is firm, it is sure, and nobody can pluck us out from God's hand. So don't say, I will hold on to God's hand, but rather say, I will let God hold my hand. Because when God holds your hand, you'll be sure. So don't depend on your own strength. Let us look to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for being so gracious to show the example for us on the life of David. And Father, we pray that thou wilt give us this faith to turn to thee, to look to thee, because thou art our Savior. Thou art the one who provides solutions for our lives. So Lord, we commit ourselves unto thee, praying that you be gracious, that if anyone has turned cold against thee today, that they will come back to thee as they would do, like what David did, to encourage himself in the Lord our God. We pray thanking thee in Jesus' name. Amen.